Congress is only in business for a few more days, with some big issues still unresolved, including highway funding, borders, and VA hospitals.
Paul Singer joins us now for a rundown on the race to the finish. He's the politics and Congress editor at USA Today, and he joins us each week at this time for the latest from the legislative branch. Paul, welcome back.
Thanks. Nice to be with you again.
So before we dig into the specific issues here, is there a sense that you're getting that Congress has the pedal to the metal, they're trying to get stuff done?
No. there is a sense that they would like to get the heck out of here Thursday afternoon and hopefully forget about everything else if they can. There are a couple of issues they really are trying to resolve, but I'm not particularly enthusiastic.
More like high school kids before summer vacation or something
exactly,
like that.
Exactly. Like, do you want to get your finals done? No, but if, you have to.
And yet there is some important stuff on the table right now. Let's look first at the veterans' health care reform that looks pretty promising. How is that standing right now?
That's the one where they've really made some progress. Bernie Sanders, the senator from Vermont, he's independent, but parties with the Democrats. And Jeff Miller, the Republican from the House, the chairman of the Veterans Committee in the House, they basically fought it out over the weekend, and they argued and they yelled at each other, and then they agreed, and then they huffed and they puffed, and then they came up with a deal, which is pretty much the way it's supposed to work. And it looks like a deal that can probably get some support. It's a chunk of money for the veterans. It's about $10 billion. To allow veterans to go seek care outside the veterans, the VA, the Veterans Administration, Department of Veterans Affairs, if they're not getting treatment and they're stuck on a waiting list. And then, part of the compromise is, well, they'll have to take some of that money out of current veterans programs and out of the current budget for the VA. So, again, that makes nobody happy entirely, but that's a compromise, we call it, the old school compromise. And I think it's got a pretty good chance of passing because everybody wants to do something on veterans' issues. Now, I can't swear they're going to get it done in the next 3 days before they leave. It may end up hanging off until after they get back from recess.
But of everything on the table, is this the thing that you look at and you say, this? If anything gets a green light, it's going to be this?
I think so, yeah. I would, if we'd had this conversation yesterday at this time, I would have said the highway bill was the other one that was going to go smoothly. And then last night, and again, this is a deal to extend the highway bill, the highway trust fund, through May of next year, sort of a temporary patch while they work out a longer deal. The thing is, last night in the Senate, they, for reasons that escaped me, decided to tinker with the bill and change the deadline. So they'd only extend it through December in the Senate bill. So now they have to go back and argue with the House whether it would be December or May. Once again, that slows everything down. They need to get this thing done before they go away because people stop spending money on road construction when the trust fund runs out in August. So I would have told you yesterday this was the one that was going to go first. Now I'm just not so sure.
Now, the trust fund has been in trouble for a little while. What is it that you think is most pressing here when we look at this trust fund?
Well, the problem is, and it's your fault, that is, all of us, it's our fault, because we are getting more gas efficiency out of our cars. And when you drive a fuel-efficient vehicle, you cheat the gas trust fund, sorry, the highway trust fund, because the highway trust fund is funded with a gas tax. So if you drive 55 miles per gallon in your Prius, you are cheating the highway trust fund out of the gas tax it's supposed to have.
And bumping the gas tax, probably not going to happen.
Right. Well, Congress hates raising taxes. So that's the problem. I mean, the fundamental problem is the way this thing is funded is with a tax that can't be raised while fuel efficiency increases. We're using less gas per mile. By definition, it's a mathematical problem. We're not going to have as much money to fund the construction we need.
And this is bad for a number of reasons, right? We've got infrastructure in states of disrepair, and also it supposedly fuels the economy, not just cars.
Oh, yeah. I mean, every year we have these conversations about the price of gas. And if the price of gas is going up or down, people are driving less. If people are driving less, or in this case, if they're driving less because they can't get on the roads, or the roads are closed, or the roads are broken down, or the bridge collapsed, it stops economic activity. I mean, the roads are the lifeblood of our economy. That's where everybody goes to shop. They drive there.
All right, so some tinkering being done on the Highway Trust Fund, so we don't really know what's going to happen with that.
Right.
And looking at another issue that we've been tracking, the border crisis, we've been talking about this with you, in fact, over the last several weeks. So what is the response from Congress been, and where do things stand today?
Well, things stand today in a really ugly mess. Again, part of the problem here is, one, the government needs money to address the fact that all these kids are sort of stuck at the border and have been scooped up and are in detention, essentially, at various places while we figure out what to do with them. The second problem is a philosophical issue, which is this. Should we change the existing law to make it easier to deport back to their home countries kids from Central America? The Obama administration initially said this is what they wanted to do. The Republicans immediately agreed. The Democrats balked and have backed away from it, saying it's unfair to these kids. And that's where we're stuck now. The Senate passed a bill that basically didn't talk about this issue at all. All it was funding for these agencies to deal with the kids who are here. The House is in the process of producing a bill that is basically just the opposite. It addresses the immigration issue of sending the kids back more quickly, and it has a very, very small funding level to help process the kids. So we are now at the point where we have two chambers of Congress taking directly divergent approaches to this problem. I don't see any way they finish this by tomorrow night.
Now, the issue you're talking about, the 2008 deportation bill, I understand that was something that was supported by the Bush administration. Do you have any background there about why it's changed shape so much over the course of those years?
Well, it's a fairly, I mean, if you think about it, it makes some sense. The way that law was written, they basically said, if you are an immigrant kid caught coming across the border from Canada or Mexico, the border guards can basically just toss you back into your country. They can make a very quick decision that you are not a genuine asylum seeker and you should be simply returned without a whole lot of process, without a whole lot of no hearing, no judge, no nothing. Other Central American nations were not treated the same. Those kids, if they arrive, they're supposed to go before an immigration judge. There's supposed to be a hearing process and all this stuff, and it takes longer. The whole idea here is to simply extend that barrier and say, well, not just Mexican kids, but other Central American kids, the border authorities can basically instantly decide they should just be put back on a plane and sent back. That's what the philosophical argument is. And that is what is now being the Democrats, like I said, the White House initially thought that was a good idea, but immigration advocates and Democrats have been outraged by it and say that it's not fair to these kids. You could be returning them to a crisis situation, and it's bad.
All right, so obviously some big talking has to happen on both sides before we get anywhere on that.
Correct.
Is anything, do you think, going to happen by Friday there?
Nope. I doubt it.
And let's look at another issue that's been out there, the issue of impeachment and...
Yeah, that's a joke. That's a fundraising tactic for both sides. No one's going to impeach Obama. Impeachment would have to start in the House, and the Speaker of the House has said he's not going to do it. So it's not going to happen. But if you are on the sort of far conservative end of the political spectrum, you like to send out fundraising appeals saying, this president is terrible and we have to impeach him, send me $100. And if you're on the Democrat or liberal side of the political spectrum, you'd like to send out emails saying, this president is in trouble, the crazy Republicans want to impeach him, send me $100. So it's just a fundraising ploy on both sides.
Right, and John Boehner has said as much. On the other hand, he said what we are looking at is not so much impeachment, but we're looking at this issue between the legislative and the executive branch and trying to figure out where the balance of power lies in the courts, and that is going to happen, it sounds like.
Yeah, Yeah, probably. I mean, they're going to file suit against the president for unilaterally delaying the employer mandate in the Affordable Care Act, the Obamacare law.
How big a deal is that?
I don't know. It's odd because obviously the Republicans wanted that mandate delayed. Their argument is that Obama is not implementing the laws the way they were passed, and this is sort of a stalking horse for that argument. I honestly am not enough of a legal scholar to know whether they have any leg to stand on. There was a hearing where there was an argument made that they do have a legal leg to stand on, but the person who was making that argument had previously written the opposite. So I don't know. You'd have to get a lawyer who knows better than I do, but it's certainly not going to be anytime soon that this is resolved.
All right. One thing we do know, there have been farewells to Eric Cantor this week in the form, I guess, of a montage-y style video highlighting some of the greatest hits of his career. What has that been like? Has it been emotional?
No. Well, it's been emotional for the Republicans in the House caucus. Because, again, you know, you forget the fact that these guys and gals in Congress work together, work close together, get to know each other, and care about each other in some way. And then, you know, Cantor was a stunning defeat, was considered someone most likely to be the next Speaker of the House. And now is basically going to fade into obscurity. And, you know, you have to, on a personal level, feel bad for the guy, and certainly his colleagues feel bad for him. So they put out this video that was kind of his greatest hits of his career video, and one of my pals was joking that they ought to be playing the sort of NFL Films theme song behind it, you know.
And we're going to leave it there, Paul. Thank you for joining us. That was Paul Singer, Congressman, Politics Editor at USA Today.